Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.
All right, welcome to the William Lawson Show here, welcome to Fight Back here on Blog Talk Radio. I get a little confused. We're doing a couple of programs now. We're doing the William Lawson Show on the Exceptional Conservative Network, 9:05 every day, Monday through Friday. And today we thought I'd double back here. We haven't done a show on Blog Talk Radio Pure in a while, so I thought we'd double back here and do what I think is a sort of an important show, an important question anyway. I think it's an important question. We've seen the election of a new president since I've spoken to you last, the inauguration anyway of a new president. Donald J. Trump is the president of the United States. So if you live in the United States, if you consider yourself a citizen of the United States, you consider yourself someone who is due all the benefits of being a citizen in the United States, Donald Trump is indeed your president. Congratulations. You have gotten, in my opinion, an upgrade. Now, what you do with that upgrade, of course, or what happens in that upgrade is yet to be seen. We are on day four, official day four, in a work week of the Donald Trump presidency. So, and we've seen some things already. We've seen some things. We've seen him approaches exactly the way Barack Obama started to approach this in the beginning of his second term. And he started ripping out the executive order pen. And that's the problem with executive orders. And that's why, you know, when people were celebrating Barack Obama as getting stuff done, even getting around Congress, the problem with executive orders is that the next president could take out his executive order pen and countermand executive orders of the past president. So your gains are only temporary and easily overturned. If you had these gains through laws, through the legislative process, it'd be a lot more difficult to overturn, some of these things. But Barack Obama chose to use his executive order pen just the same way that George Bush chose to use his executive order pen. And now Donald Trump, and the thing that bothers me is that if the Republican-controlled in the Senate and in the House, doesn't use this as a way to open the door is wide open for legislation in these areas, which is the best way to do this. I think it's the best way to do this because it's a lot harder to overturn by the next president if it becomes a law, if it becomes a law of the land, if it becomes part of the U.S. code, as opposed to just something that a president for a term or two wanted and was able to see. And not that there hasn't been good things. Please believe me. I think that the last set of executive orders suspending the refugee program, great idea. I mean, for 120 days, suspending the refugee program is a great idea. Something that I think had to be done. I think only people who aren't adults can understand that was something that had to be done. It seemed to make it something that made an awful lot of sense to do. So that's the veto pen, that's the executive order pen. The executive order pen that also tells the feds to ease up on people who don't have health care. Don't go after them as hard. This is going to lead, or this could very well lead to the, I think it could lead to at least the change in the law the Affordable Care Act law of getting rid of the individual mandate. My opinion, that's the most egregious part. The most egregious part of the Affordable Care Act is not having your kids on your insurance plan until you're 26. It's not having insurance companies take people who have pre-existing conditions. And you know what? And you're right. You know, we don't ever think about these things until they're in our front yard. And somebody asked me this, years ago, if Florida came up with this kind of plan, would I consider it? Well, I'd have to read it first. And they got all mad at me that I didn't just say yes and go along with the president. I said, I'd have to read it first. I'd have to try to figure out what the impact was going to be. If it was going to be more expensive and make it more difficult for me or people like me to have health care, then I probably wouldn't go with it. If it was going to make it cheaper and more available, then if that was even possible, then you know what? If Florida wants to do it, that's great. Because I could always move. I could always go to Georgia or Alabama or Mississippi or Louisiana or Montana or Wyoming or somewhere. You know what? So we're kind of feeling our way through this. This executive order pretty much is the first salvo against the individual mandate, which is the worst part. Like I said, not your children on your policy until you're 26, not the pre-existing conditions. It's the mandate. It's the thing that says you got to do it, which that's the thing that keeps the prices up. That's the thing that says that, you know what, that doesn't have to be competition because they have to do it or you fine them or you penalize them. That's the part that's got to go away. So if Donald Trump can get that done, that would be great. Speaking of Donald Trump getting things done, a little bit ago, during his, let's see, this came out on October 31st, 2016. It was Donald Trump's New Deal for Black America. You know, and after looking at this, and we talked about this on my other show on the Exceptional Conservative Network, today I'm really thinking about it, what larger effect is a plan like this going to have on the voting blocks? 13%, listen to me, 13% of Black males cast a ballot for Donald Trump. 13%. That's an awful lot. That's an awful lot. That's a pretty large chunk of folks who said, you know what? Screw it. I'll vote for Trump. I won't go Democrat this time. I'll vote for Trump. Now, it had to be people who had gone Democrat before. It had to be people who were independent that always vote Democrat. I find that most people who say they're independent always vote Democrat. This is not 13% of Black males that have been sort of on the DL for the Republican Party all along and then showed up in this election. That ain't true. This ain't no Black Republican DL thing. These are people that voted for Barack Obama, probably not once, but twice. Who could not vote for Hillary Clinton, who did the exact opposite of voting for Hillary Clinton. They didn't vote for Bernie Sanders. They didn't buy any of that. They didn't vote for Jill Stein. They didn't even know who the hell Jill Stein was or anybody else. They said, F it, I'll vote for Trump, which means that there's an opening, that there's now a questioning about what Democrats are bringing to the inner city, especially there's people have questions. Does Donald Trump have answers? Well, he might. On October 31st, 2016, he was able to come up and put on his website his New Deal, Donald Trump's New Deal for Black America. for Black America. Maybe this is the plan. Maybe these are his answers. Now, what I wonder is that if he, you know, and we're going to go over, we won't be able to get through all of them, but we're going to go over some. And if he gets these done, will this cause a great migration of Black votes back to the Republican Party? How successful does Trump have to be for that migration to take place? This is going to take a little break. We'll be back with more of the Fight Back right after these messages.
Innovation, inspiration, and imagination. Three important characteristics that are important in any business, but especially in real estate, when you're looking for your forever home. And when that home is a new home, there are very, very many things that must go right. The financing must be on point. The furnishings must be on point. The location and neighborhood must be on point. And if you need someone to get that right the first time, you have to go to my friend, Gary Knight, at New Homes of Tampa Bay. That's New Homes of Tampa Bay. You can reach him on the web at www.newhomestpa.com. If you're looking for innovation through technology, inspiration and imagination through hard work, www.newhomestpa.com. There's no reason to wait for a special occasion to send flowers. No reason to wait until you miss a birthday or an anniversary or Valentine's Day to send flowers. All you have to do is get a hold of my friend Christine at Blooming Days Flower Shop, www.bloomingdays.com. That's www.bloomingdays.com. And tell her that you want to send the very best, that you care enough to send the very best. One of FTD's top florists in all of the United States, always in the top 100 of flower shops in the United States. That's Blooming Days Flower Shop, www.bloomingdays.com. Forget calling 1-800-something, www.bloomingdays.com. It's great to have partners, but it's even better when one of your partners is one of the finest urban conservatives in America. That's my friend Kevin Batts. Kevin Batts of Red River Chronicle TV. Red River Chronicle TV is taking the internet by storm with fabulous production, amazing commentary, and incredible insight. Red River TV is the thing that we'll all be watching in 2017. They are the people, Kevin and his wife Janelle, are the voices that are going to make the difference in urban America in 2017. So get in on the ground floor. Go to www.redriverchronicle.com and subscribe to Red River TV today.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.
Good afternoon. My name is Willie Lawson. This is the Willie Lawson. This is Fight Back on Blog Talk Radio. Wow. Again, we do the Willie Lawson Show on the Exceptional Conservative Network every day, Monday through Friday at 9:05. If you want to tune in for that, you can check it out on my Facebook page. We post every day on my Facebook page. And we also post on the Willie Lawson Show on the Exceptional Conservative Network Facebook page. And you can always check out the shows there. It is going to be a thing we do all the time, and I'm excited about it. We're going to try to circle back to the home place every now and again. Let you know that we have not left or forgotten about our Blog Talk Radio audience. We love our Blog Talk Radio audience. Without my Blog Talk Radio audience, I would not have been able to do anything that I've done in the past, golly, eight or nine years. So we appreciate you, and we're going to continue to produce content especially for you. We're talking about Donald Trump's New Deal for Black Americans, and also a plan for urban renewal. And I'm going to try to get through two or three of these, because I think that if I do that, you'll understand where I'm going with this. Will this cause the great migration of Black voters back to the Republican Party? Let's start at the preamble of this, which I thought was pretty good. Nobody needs to tell African Americans in this country that the old New Deal from the Democrat Party isn't working for them. In election after election, Democrat Party leaders take African American voters for granted, and year after year, the condition of Black America gets worse. The conditions in our inner cities today are unacceptable. Too many African Americans have been left behind. Today, this morning, I woke to the news that 42 people in Chicago had already been murdered. 42 people. What the hell is happening in Chicago? 8 years of a president, of a Black president, that cut his political teeth in Chicago. One of his minion went back to be the mayor of Chicago, and still today, 42 murders, over 200 shootings in a place that has the most stringent gun control laws in the country. What the hell, right? This is a 10-point plan directed towards poor people and African Americans, and, well, people of color, colored people. I'll start with the one that I think that's most important. Number one, great education through school choice. We will allow every disadvantaged child in America to attend the public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or homeschool of their choice. School choice is the great civil rights issue of our time, and Donald Trump will be the nation's biggest cheerleader for school choice in all 50 states. We will also ensure funding for historic Black colleges and universities, more affordable 2- and 4-year colleges, and support for trade and vocational education. I'm sorry, that hits all the click boxes for me as far as education goes. That hits every damn click box. And I'll tell you what, it hits every click box for anybody else who is concerned about urban America. That clicks every single one. It starts from the, you know what, from the Ruta to the Tuta, from the cradle to the grave, educationally speaking. We start with elementary education, we start with homeschooling, we start with public schools and private schools and charter schools, religious schools. And I said this morning on the other program, Black people who are upset with Donald Trump are, and especially churches, are blinded by their own bit of racism, bigotry, and what they don't see is this magnificent opportunity to start taking back their neighborhoods, to start being the center of their communities again by opening schools. So you know what, instead of every month having to bury one of your kids, you can spend every day teaching, loving, and mentoring your kids. Because now Donald Trump has said that he is for religious, that he is for people having the choice of religious education, of going to a church school or a charter school. A few years ago, I was on the board of the 34th Street Church of God charter school. They have a charter school and they have a private school there. And their private school only went from like K to K. It only went from K to third grade. But I tell you, those third graders had some of the best statewide scores in the state. And I tell you, it's because those people who worked in that building cared about the kids who went to that school. Most of the kids in that school were from the neighborhood. And it was their mission that they weren't going to have to bury one of those kids because they were involved in some bull crap. That's not how that was supposed to go. They were supposed to send those kids to college. And they were told to come back to the community and be successful. And now black churches, especially big black churches in the inner city, now have the opportunity to do that. We have a president who is not trying to force all the kids into failing public school systems because they're being pressured, because he was being pressured financially by the teachers' unions. You see the opportunity you have now? You have an opportunity to do good things for kids, and you also have an opportunity to do good things for families. You have an opportunity to do good things for families. You know, a while ago, I worked at the church I was attending. I worked for the church academy for a year. And you know, you found out if you had a kid who was in the church academy and their parents didn't attend, eventually their parents would attend. Eventually, if you did good by the kid, that you would win the whole family. So it's a great opportunity. Now, I'm not saying for one single second that any of us have to walk in lockstep and we have to walk in mental lockthink with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. As you know, if you listen to this show, that's exactly what you don't have to do as a conservative. So this is a sort of a two-pronged or a multi-pronged thing for those that chose to cast a ballot for Donald Trump. They can be independent thinkers. They can disagree with the person that they voted for. They don't have to be all in. I'm with her. To hell with that. She should have been with y'all. Donald Trump should be with us. So that's really kind of the exciting part about this, about this opportunity now. What happens next? If Donald Trump is successful, if he is successful in getting some of this stuff done, especially as it concerns the very first point in his plan about education. Let's go down to these click boxes. Additional funding or ensure funding for historic black colleges and universities. So, you know, here's the deal. None of those historic black colleges and universities are flush in cash and doing great. That's just a reality. First, that's the reality of private schools to start with. Small schools to start with, and even small state schools. If you have to depend on people coming in with money already in form of grants and loans and the like, it makes it tough. And it's tough for all of them. And if anyone will be honest with you, there's none of them flush in cash and doing great financially. They could all use some help. So when Donald Trump says, hey, we are going to make your situation better, then let's make that situation better. One of the biggest problems with colleges and universities, other than there are indoctrination stations, is that they're expensive and getting more expensive. The price of education is well beyond any inflationary rate that you can find, that you can make up. And of course, when did this happen? When the government decided that they were going to take over all the student loan programs, that they were going to make it impossible for you to go down to your XYZ bank and get a loan to go to school. Why? Because what happens in colleges and universities know that those kids who have got GSLs, we used to call guaranteed student loans, the government was going to pay. So it didn't matter what it cost. Just crank it up. Charge more for those activity fees, and activity fees they just pocket. charge more for the activity fees. Don't fight teachers on salary. Don't negotiate. Just give in. You don't have to make money. You don't have to be successful financially because the government's going to pay. If you're a state school, especially, the government is going to pay. Everybody who's getting a loan is coming through the government anyway. Silly way to do it. If you're the least bit interested in making it affordable for everyone. So if Donald Trump can make 2-year and 4-year colleges a little less expensive for people who may not qualify for state or federal help, that'll be better. And another click box that I think is very important are the proliferation of trade and vocational education. This idea that everybody is ready to go off to a 4-year situation. This started, you know, when I was working in the school system, and it just seemed crazy to me that anybody thought that all our kids could go to college, even the kids who got good grades, that they were all going to college. When I was at Durant High School, I talked to this young man when I was working in the guidance office, and he said that he was going to go take the SAT Saturday. And then he said, "Mr. Lawson, I don't know why. I don't know why they're making me take this dumb test." He said, my dad owns that salvage yard down the road from the school. It's been in my family for years. Since I was 10 years old, I have been learning as much as I can learn about the salvage business. And when I graduated from high school, I'm going to go to work for my dad and eventually take over that salvage business. He said, other than maybe a few business classes, I don't need to go to a 4-year school. I don't need to get a 4-year degree. My dad makes 6 figures. In front of the decimal point. He said, we do very well. And I, you know what? All I could say was, you are absolutely correct. You are absolutely, positively correct. There's no reason for that young man to take the SAT and head off to some 4-year college program. That isn't going to do him any good. And that's just one example. We're talking about examples for kids who are good with their hands, who like to get dirty, who like to fix things. No reason for a 4-year degree. You know what? And when I'm sitting around the house here, I think about it all the time. You know what? Do I need a PhD to come fix my AC? No. When my car breaks down, do I need an electrical engineer with a master's from Georgia Tech? No. I need somebody who knows how to fix my car. And that person could go to a 18-month program at a vocational school and learn all the skills they need to learn to be successful, to be happy, and to be prosperous. So I personally would like to see, and I think a lot of people would like to see, a push back to vocational education, trade and vocational education. You don't have to be an architect to be someone who could be the general contractor on a construction site. And because you're going to need to build buildings, right? You're going to need people to be plumbers and electricians. You're going to need all those trades, right? Trump knows this, and he knows this because he's a builder. He's a developer. He's been dealing with the construction industry all of his life. And he knows that there is a dearth of qualified trade people out there. And it's because we've gotten into this ivory tower mentality, and we have left the trades and the vocationals and the vocational things behind in this country. So this first thing, just the first thing, checks off a bunch of click boxes, not just for me, but for a lot of people. And you know what? It is my guess that a lot of the people who voted for Donald Trump, not just the 13% of African American males, but a lot of people in Ohio and Pennsylvania were people who are involved in trades. Blue collar people who know what a dearth there is in trade and vocational education. And they know how expensive it is to try to send kids to college. They know how expensive it is. This first point of this 10-point plan would be enough right there for me. He wouldn't have to go any further, but he does. He does. Point number two, safe communities. We will make our communities safe again. Every poor African-American child must be able to walk down the street in peace. Safety is a civil right. Did you hear that? Safety is a civil right. I don't know if it's been said like that before. That safety is a civil right. That people deserve to be safe in their own communities. Are you kidding me? The Chicago murder rate and the number of Black people murdered in Chicago is off the scale. How can anybody feel safe in any of those communities? How can anybody feel safe in any communities in East St. Louis? How can anybody feel safe? How is it possible? Well, they can't. You know, I'm at the DNAinfo.com page in Chicago. We're looking at back in 2014, January 3rd, 2014, Ronald Sawyer, 30 years old, homicide victim, Black, 30. On January 5th, 16-year-old Black Raymond Galloway, homicide victim, Black. On January 6th, Stephanie Serrano, Hispanic, stabbed. January 8th, Joseph Brittman, 19-year-old Black, murdered, shot. On the 11th, Marquise Harris, 16-year-old Black, Black young man, shot and killed. On January 15th, 2014, Gino Martinez, shot. And killed. He was 22 years old. Kevin Baker, 19 years old, shot and killed in Chicago. Kendra Davis, 27-year-old Black woman, shot and killed in Chicago. On the 16th of January, 2014, Lester Jones, 27-year-old man, shot and killed in the Chicagoland area. Timothy Travis, 21-year-old Black man in 2014, shot and killed in the Chicagoland area. Tremaine Scott, 19 years old, shot and killed. Harb Ibrahim Yosef Mondin, 18 year old, shot and killed. Salah Youssef Jaber Mulindin, 35 years old, shot and killed in the Chicagoland area. Edward Cardine, Black, 44 years old, killed because of an assault. Jonathan Johnson, 21-year-old Black man, shot and killed in the Chicagoland area. Isalim Montel, shot and killed, 35 years old, shot and killed in Chicago. Miguel Navarrete, 15-year-old Hispanic kid, shot and killed in a little village. Jose Nunez, 23-year-old Hispanic, shot and killed in a little village. Tevin Brandt, 19-year-old Black, killed in the Grand Crossing of the Chicagoland area. Danny Melendez, stabbed to death, 38 years old, in Belmont Craig. Francisco Rufino, 20-year-old Hispanic kid, in Pilsen, also killed. That was all the deaths in 1 month. In 1 month. The death toll in 2014, 427. In 2014. In 2015, the death toll was 495. 495. In 2016, the death toll in Chicago murders were 746. Is it not important to have safe communities? As a matter of fact, Donald Trump's already said, if Chicago can't get their act together, if they can't get their act together, then he's going to send the feds in there and make them get their act together. Same neighborhoods, Grand Crossing, Austin, Pilsen, Woodlawn, Inglewood, Back of the Yards, Grand Boulevard, same neighborhood, Chicago Lawn, Hermosa, Auburn Gresham. It's insane. 746. And already 45 at the end of this month. 45. So maybe Black men who have Black children said, you know what? Make America safe again? Yeah, I think I'll go with that. I think I'll go with that plan of trying to make America, especially where I live, safer. Maybe I'll go with that. And basically, it's, you know, it's put the Democrat Party into a tailspin. They don't know what to do. They don't know whether to crap or go blind, because here's the deal. They can't. They find themselves in the unenviable position of looking at reality, looking at the number of people getting buried every month due to violence in Chicago and other places around the country, trying to compare it with the same number of people who were shot by police, who unarmed people shot by police, and coming up painfully, woefully short, and finding themselves in the unenviable position of saying that our communities are safe, when 45 people in Chicago already by the 26th of January have already been killed. 45 in 26 days. So are they going to fight really vigorously against having safe communities? Are they going to fight against school choice? Well, they're going to fight against school choice, and that's a financial thing. So they don't know right now whether the crap or go blind, and it's great to see, great to watch it from the cheap seats. When Sue Brown says that her job as a white woman in the Democrat Party is to make other white people be quiet, because she thinks that having this position sort of makes her an advocate for me. Doesn't make you anything for me, honey. It just makes you a nut job. We'll be back with more of Fight Back right after these messages.
Innovation, inspiration, and imagination. Three important characteristics that are important in any business, but especially in real estate, when you're looking for your forever home. And when that home is a new home, there are very, very many things that must go right. The financing must be on point. The furnishings must be on point. The location and neighborhood must be on point. And if you need someone to get that right the first time, you have to go to my friend, Gary Knight, at New Homes of Tampa Bay. That's New Homes of Tampa Bay. You can reach him on the web at www.newhomestpa.com. If you're looking for innovation through technology, inspiration and imagination through hard work, www.newhomestpa.com. There's no reason to wait for a special occasion to send flowers. No reason to wait until you miss a birthday or an anniversary or Valentine's Day to send flowers. All you have to do is get a hold of my friend Christine at Blooming Days Flower Shop, www.bloomingdays.com. That's www.bloomingdays.com. And tell her that you want to send the very best, that you care enough to send the very best. One of FTD's top florists in all of the United States, always in the top 100 of flower shops in the United States. That's Blooming Days Flower Shop, www.bloomingdays.com. Forget calling 1-800-something, www.bloomingdays.com. It's great to have partners, but it's even better when one of your partners is one of the finest urban conservatives in America. That's my friend Kevin Batts. Kevin Batts of Red River Chronicle TV. Red River Chronicle TV is taking the internet by storm with fabulous production, amazing commentary, and incredible insight. Red River TV is the thing that we'll all be watching in 2017. They are the people, Kevin and his wife Janelle, are the voices that are going to make the difference in urban America in 2017. So get in on the ground floor. Go to www.redriverchronicle.com and subscribe to Red River TV today.
So my name is Gary James. I've been helping people make sure that they know what they're talking about when they buy a new home. About the last 2 or 3 years, I'm actually a realtor with Charles Ruttenberg Realty, but New Homes of Tampa Bay is something completely separate from that. When I started New Homes of Tampa Bay, the whole goal was to show people how do you save money when you buy a new home. And then that grew into how do you stay safe. And then that grew into what are the providing people with the same information and resources that I use.
New Homes of Tampa Bay. That's newhomestpa.com. It's all the rage to call and order flowers from 1-800-WHATEVER or go online and order them from some nameless, faceless person on the other end. I'm saying you should do something different. You should, before doing that, call my friends at Blooming Days Flower Shop, located right here in Tampa, Florida, at 11618 North Florida Avenue, 33612. Christine and her staff don't look at just the order. They look at the customer. They look at your occasion. They consider the entire person, the entire occasion, before making decisions about design and price. You're more than just a customer. You're a friend. Call our friends at Blooming Days Flower Shop, toll free at 1-800-330-3297. 1-800-330-3297. Local 813-971-5947. 813-971-5947. 5947. You can reach them on the web at www.bloomingdays.com.
This is Fight Back, the internet's premier anti-social justice, anti-communist, anti-socialist program on the internet. If you are ready to get into this fight, you are amongst friends. If you are not, then this show may be too intense for you.
All right. We're going to go ahead and hit a couple of more of the 10-point plans for Donald Trump's New Deal with Black America. Number 9, protect the African-American church. We will protect religious liberty, promote strong families, and support the African-American church. Now, what did I just say the African-American church ought to start doing? They should take that and wrap it up with starting schools in these communities, so they can educate these kids every day, as opposed to bury one of them a month or more. This is a great opportunity to expand your territory in these communities and do good for and start doing good, instead of like when during the prayer meeting in the White House during inauguration day, Trump was standing on the corner as a lot in his interfaith service, where a lot of the pastors and priests were walking in the door, and he was shaking their hands as he came around the corner. One of the Black ministers, pastors, reverends, whatever he is, decided to take his sepulcher that he was holding from his left hand and put it in his right hand, so he wouldn't have to shake hands with Donald Trump. Pretty petty thing to do. Now, you would say that, well, you know what, man of the cloth shouldn't do such a thing. But you know what? What I've learned is that people are people. That even people who should know better oftentimes don't. Point number 10, America First policy. We will stop trying to build democracies overseas, wasting trillions, but focus on defeating terrorists and putting America first. There are enough abandoned buildings, dangerous places, right here, and with crumbling infrastructure, right here in the United States, to spend time, energy, and effort. The idea that we would stay involved in democracy building and nation building is to those in the urban community. It should be a personal affront. It should be in a personal affront that Barack Obama would try to send $221 million overseas as one of his last acts, instead of sending $221 million to Chicago, or $221 million to Detroit, or Baltimore, or East St. Louis, or Ferguson. I just want you to tell me how sending $221 million to some folks overseas is going to make where you live any better. Now, you can tell me that other people do it. Yeah, and I agree with you. And it was just as egregious then as it is now. It's every bit as egregious then as it is now. It's something that you should worry about. It's something that you should be concerned with. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Because I know that you are a lot of Black people, especially the 13% of Black males that voted for Donald Trump, were under the impression that with the of a Black president, especially twice, that things where they lived were going to improve. They almost had to improve, right? They almost had to improve. How could they stay the same? Barack Obama is our president. The Black man is the president. He is not going to forget about us. He was in Chicago. He knows. He's not going to forget about us. 13% of Black males in America says Barack Obama forgot about us. He forgot about my family. He forgot about my job. He forgot about my life. He forgot about our lives. And Democrats just went along with whatever the president was talking about or doing, no matter what. And while they were still, you know what, while black people were still there on the ground saying, where the hell is our help? Where is our $221 million? Where is our advocacy in the White House? Where is our advocacy in Congress? It wasn't there. And when Donald Trump comes up with this New Deal for Black Americans, it's chock full of advocacy for this 13% of people that voted, for 13% of Black males that voted for Donald Trump. There's the advocacy. It's chock full of it. It's built in. It's addressing the problem honestly and openly, and for the most part, without being accusatory. Doesn't go back and blame Barack Obama. So it isn't like that 13% of Black males had to disavow themselves, disconnect themselves with somebody who they thought was historic. However, they could be honest about his ineffectiveness without really talking about it. Now, my question is to you, and you can send me an email at wls860@gmail.com, wls860@gmail.com. Is this the beginning of the Great Migration? If Donald Trump can accomplish half of the 10 points in the first 4 years, will this start the Great Migration of African Americans and Black people back to voting for the Republican Party? If he is successful in half, not all of it, will the Great Migration back to the Republican Party start? Now, it's not going to start. It's not going to go back. Let me help you. It's not going to go back to the George Bush Republican Party. It's not going to go back to the Ronald Reagan Republican Party. It's not going to go back to any of that. If there's a new Republican Party, there's a Trumplandia Republican Party. And basically, you're going to have to be on board with that to get at, to get the Black African-American male vote, apparently. Will this start? Will this start the Great Migration back of Black people to the Republican Party? I don't know. Maybe. I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. Seems like it might. Seems like it might. Are Democrats more? Do Democrats want Donald Trump to fail in his New Deal with Black America? Does he want that to fail? Are they more afraid that it'll fail? Are they more afraid that it'll succeed? I'm gonna go ahead. I see I have a call. Give me just a second. I'm going ahead and I'm not gonna delve into them. I'm just gonna read the bullet points. Number one, great education through school choice. Number two, safe communities. Number three, equal justice under the law. Number four, tax reforms to create jobs and lift up people and communities. Number five, financial reforms to expand credit to support new job creation. That's some deep stuff. That's some in the weed stuff, but very important. Number six, trade that works for American workers. Number seven, protection from illegal immigration. That's deep, and that we can do for an hour. Number eight, infrastructure investments. Number nine, protect the African-American church. Number 10, American first foreign policy. Will that be enough? Will that be enough? Will that be enough to lead people back to the Republican Party? We'll need Well, black people start the Great Migration back to the Republican Party. Like I said, it's not the it's not the same Republican. It's not the George Bush Republican Party. It's not the Ronald Reagan Republican Party. It's going to be something new. Heck, it's not even the John Boehner Republican Party, or it may not even be the Paul Ryan Republican Party. Could be so. This could be something completely and totally different, completely and totally new. Maybe. Don't know. But I tell you what, the door is wide open. The door is wide open. We'll go ahead and take this call. I think this is disagreement, but I'll click the button because, you know, whatever. Good morning, and thanks for calling from all the way up in New York. This is Willie. What can we do for
you? Hey, good morning. Hey, I'm curious. Why did you say my call would be disagreement? I'm just curious what gave you that impression.
Because most people do. I don't know.
Oh, well, you won the lotto today because I do disagree. So I'll mail it.
you'll mail my check, and
yeah,
I'll
mail your
bill
check. Yeah, I'll take up my taxes first.
All right.
Yeah, the Republican Party today. I mean, we have to look at the truth. It's not really the same Republican Party of Abraham Lincoln, just like the Democratic Party is not the same party that it was probably about 50 years ago. There have been changes. If we could just look at President Trump's opinion, and by the way, I'm not one of those people that thinks just because I didn't vote for him that we should act like children and throw water on people, that kind of stupidity. I think that's pretty immature. Whoever wins, it's over, and it's time to really come and have intelligent, mature discussions. But on President Trump's opinion regarding safety in the community, for example, on the surface, it does seem like a noble gesture. The problem is that it has no bearing on the causes of violence. Basically, it's a band-aid, send in more troops, invest in more in shutting down the Bloods and Crips, jail them, shut them down. We've had that before in places where I live with a guy named Giuliani. What is not happening is the deep intellectual research on the causes of poverty. What tends to happen is people argue that don't really have much care for the black community. Well, black people are lazy, they're stupid, they eat too much watermelon. They trust too much in the Democrats. The truth is, poverty comes from policies that support the ultra rich, and that leads to much poverty.
But I only got 57. I only have 57 seconds.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you for your call. So I won't be coming back to you. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay.
You know what? That some of that may be true. I'm not going to disagree with you that it comes from poverty. But if you can take all 10 and you can go to DonaldTrump.com, then I'm not a Donald Trump sycophant. I didn't vote for him in the primaries. But I'm thinking if you take all 10 of those things and you put them together in one package, you address some of these other things. I don't think you need any more studies. I think we have studied ourselves until we are blind. We need some more actions. People need to be safe. People need to be educated. And that's the bottom line. The time for talking is over. The time for doing. So much for calling. Thanks for coming to the Will to fight back here on Blog Talk Radio. Till we see you again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourself. We'll see you.